passed. And so let's all stand as we start off this morning, if you can, if you're able to. We're going to do a little different. We don't really have a theme verse up on the screen. So if you've got your bulletin, better get my glasses out so I can read it correctly. If you got your bulletin, there's a verse on there, and it's about a mother, about a woman. Let's read it together. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So we just, again, we're so thankful for the mothers, and let's all, as we honor them today, let's all turn in our hymnals to page 112. 112, we will sing our theme song, God Leads Us Along.
Let's open with prayer. Wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for this day set aside to celebrate our mothers and just what a joy they are to our lives. Lord, we thank you for them. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather together and worship your name and to hear from your word. And we just lift this service up to you. We pray that all that is said and done will be for your glory. We pray this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Okay, announcements this morning. We've got coming up. Oh, okay. Here we go. Baby shower for Angela Coburnat. And we've got, I think I did see there's a boy. Is that what we're looking at? All right, so that's going to be Saturday the 17th at 10:30 in the morning. And they do have a baby registry on Amazon. And a graduation reception following next week's evening service for Annie Brock, which she's graduating today, they said this morning. Matt and Sally and Elena are there up there with her. They'll be bringing her back home. And then Isabel, and you said you graduate next weekend?
This Friday.
This Friday, okay. So Isabel graduates this Friday. So there's a reception following next week's evening service for those two ladies. And Seeking the Summit Fellowship is going to be at Sonic Tuesday, May 20th at 11:30. So this will be, I think, the first time it'll be at Sonic, so they're going to try that out and see how it goes. But that's Tuesday, May 20th at 11:30. And Challenge Christian Camp, June 16th through the 20th. The speaker is Chaplain Joe Willis, and I think they are getting the sign-ups for that. Flyers are in the lobby, and there is a discount if you register by June 1st. So I'll be looking for those flyers out there for the Challenge Christian Camp, June 16th through the 20th. And our missionaries of the week, Nathan and Laura Roberts and their family, Peter, Seth, Heidi, Titus, Eva, Ethan, Gloria, and Lillian, missionaries to South Africa. And they do have some prayer concerns with the safety for their family and the establishment of the Bible Baptist Church. And they have some specific prayer requests for Nicholas and Tobiso, plus their family to be saved, and then a prayer for Linda to continue on for the Lord. And then they're looking for God's guidance as they seek to reach and disciple finance and professors. So they do have some prayers in South Africa, so be in prayer for our missionaries there. And we do have the family of the week, Perry and Jane Townsend and Adam, be in prayer for them also this week.
All right. Well, I think we need to take time, and Matt didn't forget this. I think we need to ask the Carseys to stand, if they would. Larry and Bonnie Carseys are here this morning. They're filling in, as you all, if you haven't figured out, you now know that the Heffernans are away, and they're visiting family down in the on the East Coast. And so we want to be in prayer for them as they're away and as they recuperate. But we want to welcome Larry and Bonnie Carseys, who are filling the pulpit today for us. Larry already has preached Sunday school, and he'll be preaching in the morning service and then the evening service this evening. And they were here last year, as many of you may remember. And he reminded us, and I had forgotten this, but when they were here last time was when we had that really bad flood. So we're thankful that the weather is much better today, and they are too. So anyway, we want to welcome them. Thank you, guys. It's a blessing to have you with us this morning. Okay, well, if you would take your hymnal again and turn that over to page 130. If you're able to, I'll ask you to stand again as we sing and then remain standing for the reading of God's Word. 130, the love of God.
The love of God is greater far. Thank you.
If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, open the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, today's scripture reading. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. God bless the reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. And this time we're going to take a few moments at our own seats to go to an individual prayer to our God.
This time we'll take up our morning offering, so as the ushers come, we'll get ready to do that. I'd like to ask Roger Lemming if you would lead us in prayer for the offering this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Angela. Be Still My Soul, an old favorite hymn. All right, turn over to page 581, 581 in your hymnals. Let's sing Be an Example as we continue to sing about, as we honor mothers on this Mother's Day. Be an Example.
Thank you.
more song this morning. Turn to page 553. And if you're able to, again, I'll ask you to stand as we sing this song, Lord Bless Our Home.
5:53. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to have the car seats come up. They're going to sing special music for us. I introduced them in the Sunday school hour. They've been in ministry basically all their lives, and so pleasure to have them. They were Pastor Harvest Hill Baptist Church, 33 years, and they still serve there even as they're now retired. So we praise the Lord for them. Thank them for being here.
Born among cattle in poverty sore, living in meekness by Galilee shore, dying in shame as the wicked one swore, Jesus, wonderful Lord. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, He is my friend true to the end. He gave Himself to betrayed and denied, help of the weak in Gethsemane cried, light of the world in gross darkness He died, Jesus, wonderful Lord, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. his self to redeem me. Jesus, wonderful Lord, his name is wonderful, his name is wonderful, his name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord, Jesus wonderful Lord.
You have your Bibles, to bring your Bibles to church. Let me ask you a question. How many of you today are using the Bible like this? Or how many are using your Bible on your cell phone or your computer, your TV set or what? How many of you have this one with you today? Sounds like Pastor Ben has been on your case about that. Do I want to ask you how many have your cell phones? I don't mind. The only problem I have with cell phones in church is quite often when I slip out and come back in, and as I walk toward the front and look over people's shoulders, I see them checking out real estate to see what homes they want to buy this next week. And I see them checking on the Boston Celtics to see if they're still leading in the game. And I see them checking on their stock charts to see if they're still going up. And I'm thinking, this is really church time. You can't get that in here. I'm not preaching message number two. I just know that's the world we live in. Listen, this is Mother's Day. When Pastor Ben asked me if I would fill in and preach, I grabbed my calendar and I said, well, that's May 11th. That's Mother's Day. He said, oh, yeah. He said, you don't have to preach a Mother's Day message. Really, you should feel no obligation to do it. I said, Pastor Ben, I will be glad to preach a Mother's Day message. He said, well, you don't have to. There's no pressure. Just come fill in for me, but preach whatever you want to. I said, Pastor, I think I have too much pastoral DNA not to preach a Mother's Day message on Mother's Day. So I want to do that this morning by the grace of God. Would you take your Bibles, please? Brother Geyer read the passage I asked him if we would read today. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 11, please? Hebrews 11. If I were to ask boys and girls, children, young people, what is the one trait that you desire in your mother more than any other trait? We would get a variety of answers. Some would say, well, I want my mom to be cheerful. I want my mom to be a mom of strong convictions. I want my mom to be a mom of purity or of courage. I want my mom to always stay good-looking and beautiful. I want my mom to be kind and friendly. And they go down the whole list, you know. But I don't think many children, young people would say, I want my mother to be a mother of faith. And I personally believe that's the greatest trait that any mother, that any of us could ever have, is to be a person of faith. A husband of faith, a father of faith, a child of faith, a teenager of faith. Just to be a person of faith is so important. And that's where we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. This is called the faith chapter. It's called by some God's Hall of Faith. I never heard this until just 2 weeks ago. Somebody said it's the Old Testament honor roll. I never heard that, but it makes good sense. And you'll see that in the message I preached this morning. You say you're going to go through the book of Hebrews verse by verse, that's 40 verses. If I went through Hebrews verse by verse, we would probably cover verse 1 or verse 2. Does your pastor do that? One or two verses, a whole message, and he wants, what's in the rest of the chapter? You know, it's great for preachers, but sometimes people, if you say, I just like to keep going. We were in a church in Florida. The pastor preached on the Gospel of John for 3 years on a Wednesday night. We were in a church in Kansas City, Missouri, where the pastor preached on Proverbs. I don't even remember how many years it was. I mean, I used to sit there and think, is there any other place in the Bible besides Proverbs, you know? So I don't know what you're thinking this morning, but we're not going to cover Hebrews 11 verse by verse. In fact, we're going to go so fast through the first, I can't even believe I'm saying this. We're going to go so fast through verses 1 through 10, it's unreal how fast we're going to go. It's not like me, how I usually preach. But for this morning, I know we have to do that because our text today is Hebrews 1, verses 11 and 12. So let's read those verses first, okay? Through faith also, next word please. Sarah, welcome to Mother's Day, right? Sarah. Yes. You want me to turn the mic on, don't you?
I'm sorry.
Children's Church? No, I did turn the mic on too. I thought that was you telling me I was a bad boy. Okay, Children's Church? Children's Church. I didn't forget, folks. Nobody told me about that. Don't blame me about that. Boys and girls, this is not teenagers now. It's not Children's Church for teenagers, right? No. You know who's going. Okay. I'll tell you, Children's Church, you know, sometimes you get a little concerned when 40 adults go out the door. It's like, okay, what are they telling the pastor about his preaching, okay? Boys and girls. Okay. Back to Hebrews 11, 11 and 12, our text. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in a multitude and as the sand which is by the seaside innumerable. Those are the verses we want to really focus on today. But I believe to get the most out of the message, we at least have to scan what comes before that. We won't. In fact, I wrote in my notes, Larry, lightning fast, verses 1 through 10. When I put that in my notes, that's a serious reminder for me. Don't stop on any phrase. Don't stop in any verse. Just keep on going, okay? We have in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, and the focus is, of course, on the word faith. And it's Mother's Day. I want to bring a Mother's Day message, but this is a message that's for mothers and mothers-to-be. But as I say that, it's for everyone. It's for everyone here. I don't want to just preach a Mother's Day message and the rest of us are left out. This is for fathers. This is for teenagers. This is for us, the birds, wherever. This is for everybody today who's here. Listen, let's get the message, but the focus will be on Sarah as it relates to her faith in the Lord. In this chapter, we have basically three things. We could divide the chapter into three sections. Number one, we have what we call definition. Number two, motivation. And number three, where we'll spend most of our time on illustration. Definition, what is faith? Motivation, why is faith so important? And then illustration, how does faith work itself out in daily life? And that's pretty much everything after verse 2. So first of all, what is faith? Look at verse 1. What is faith? Sarah was a woman of faith. So what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Substance means basically assurance. Evidence means conviction, okay? Faith is the substance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the conviction, notice please, of things not seen. What does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5:74? We walk by faith and not by sight. So it's all about what we can't see, but we know is real because God's word has spoken and we take God at his word. Faith is the substance. It's the assurance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. It's the conviction of things not seen. By the way, it shouldn't be hard to believe God, should it? I like to think of it this way. What is faith? Faith is hearing a word from God, believing that what God says is true, and then acting upon it. Hearing a word from God, knowing that it's from God, so it's true, and then the action follows. And that shouldn't be hard. Listen, we listen to people all around us, every day, people tell us something and we believe them. We just act on what they say. We don't stand there and question. Now, once in a while, we're wise if we do question. Does he really mean that? Is he really going to follow through? Is that really true? I don't know. Okay, but most of the time, by far most of the time, somebody tells us something, we believe him, that's done, make a decision, and we go on. Now, that should not be hard regarding God. Amen? In fact, I think I jotted down 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. Listen to this. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is, you know the next word? It's greater. If we receive the witness of men, and implied we do all the time, every day, well, the witness of God is greater. So we take God at his word. God speaks, we hear, we receive it as true. That's basically definition of faith. Would you look, please, at the motivation for faith? Why is faith so important? And I'm just going to give you two reasons this morning, okay? We'll do them reverse where they're found. Look at verse 6. Why is faith? Why is it so important that every mother here today is a mother of faith? And every one of us, a person of faith. Look at verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Notice that first phrase. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, that's a fact. That's what God says. Without simple faith, it is absolutely impossible for any one of us to please God. And shouldn't that be the desire of every mother, to please God? Shouldn't that be the desire of every living person on the earth, to please God? God says we cannot do that without faith. It's impossible to please Him without this thing called faith. Number two, go back to verse 2. I love verse 2. It's a little short verse. Look at it. For by it, by what? What's what? Only three of you know? By faith? Okay. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it, faith. What's the motivation here? For by it, the elders obtained a good report. I like to think of it this way. By faith, we gain God's approval. You could take the two words from God and put those on the end of the verse, and it might help us understand it better, okay? For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report from God. What does the word report mean? Report means testimony. Report means witness. In other words, God sees a person's faith, and He sees the decision that he or she makes based on faith. And then we put those decisions into action. God sees those actions, and then God, who is Lord and God over anyone and everyone and everything, he records, so to speak. He notices. He reports. He testifies. In fact, we have several. God told us about them just in this one chapter, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. So we have two motivations here for faith. Number one, it's impossible to please God without it. And number two, God, through our faith, gives us a good report. Would you like to have a good report from God? You know, most of the time, not always, most of the time, I was really excited to get my report card and come home and show Mom and Dad. There were a few times I didn't want them to know we even got a report card, let alone see what was in it. But when we do what we're supposed to do and live like we're supposed to live, God gives a good report. It's a good report card. That's a good motivation. And then we have what we call illustration. Definition, motivation, illustration. And the question here is, how does faith work itself out in daily life? And that's pretty much the rest of the chapter. And God begins by giving three simple foundational areas of life. We want to think of those as salvation, of sanctification, and of service. So God says, let's think about salvation. Let's think about sanctification. Let's think about service, the three main areas of life. And he uses three men to illustrate. Number one, look at verse 4. Here's the illustration of salvation. Here's the illustration of worship. We have worship, walk, and work. Worship, walk, and work. And we have salvation, sanctification, and service. So here's Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Abel. This is all about salvation. This is all about worshiping the Lord. What's the message? God says to Cain and Abel, you come to the place in life where you know you're a sinner. You know you're not right with me. You need forgiveness. You're condemned. You need to be, our word would be, you need to be saved. Here's what you do. You offer a lamb as a sacrifice. And when I see the blood of the lamb, I will forgive your sins. Your repentance is effective. It's clear. It's like you've never done it. That's what you do, boys. And Abel says, that's exactly what I'll do, right? And he brings a sacrificial lamb. Cain's got another idea. Cain says, well, listen, I've heard you, God, but I think I have a better plan. In fact, I've been working hard, you know. And I've got some nice crops, some fruits, some vegetables. And so while my brother here brings his little lamb, I'm going to bring the best of the crops, the best of the fruits. And I know that you're going to be pleased with my sacrifice. And you know the rest of the story. What does the verse say? By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. See, he obtained witness. He got a good report from God, and that he was righteous, redeemed, saved, God testifying his gifts. And by it, he's dead, but he keeps on speaking. Why? Because this is God's plan of salvation. What does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Abel says, I'll operate by faith. God has spoken. I believe. Here's my lamb. And God says, righteous. Cain says, I got a better plan. I know you're going to be impressed, God. So he joins the church, or he gives his money, you know, or he helps elderly people across the street, or he does nice things for people. He coaches a baseball team, and he tries to treat his fellow man right and put a little money in the offering plate when he goes a couple of times a year, you know. And he says, when it's all life, when it's all done, God's going to let me in heaven. God says, it doesn't work that way. So illustration number one, salvation. Worship Abel. Number two, look at verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So we have illustration number two, and his name is Enoch. It's all about sanctification. It's about our walk with God. Because God says to all mankind, here's what I want you to do. I want you to commune with me. I want you to communicate with me. I want you in your heart to obey me. I want you to be so close in your relationship with me that you do what you do because you believe what you believe. And you believe what you believe because you have heard my word and you're following my word. And so you walk with me and I'll walk with you and we'll have a wonderful relationship together. And Enoch says, you know, I really like that. That sounds good to me. That sounds like a great way to live. And it says, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Why? Because he walked with God. What a wonderful testimony. I like that last phrase. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Was not found because God had translated him. For he had, before this translation, knows, he had this testimony that he what? He pleased God. That's his daily life of walking with God, living his lifestyle according to the plan and will of God. And the Bible says that he pleased God. In fact, there are many people in the Bible who pleased God. This is the only person in the Bible we are specifically told that he pleased God. What was it about him that pleased God? Really simple. He said, you know, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk in a right relationship with God. And why did he do that? He did that by faith. Because God had spoken a word to Enoch, and he said, God, I believe what you said is true, and that's how I want to live. Illustration number three, simple foundational principle of life, is verse 7. What's his name? Noah. Noah is all about our witness. He's about our work. It's not about worship now. It's not so much about our walk. Now it's about work. It's not about salvation, sanctification, it's all involved, but it's about his service. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of what? Of his house, his whole house. Build an ark, save he and his wife and family, by which he condemned the world. He became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So by faith, Noah worked. What's the story here? God says to Noah one day, Noah, as I look from heaven on mankind, my heart is grieved. Man is so wicked. Man is so sinful, not only in his actions, but every thought of the imagination of his hearts is only evil continually. Is that not what it says in what? Genesis 6? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every thought, the imagination of his heart was only evil continually. And the Bible says it grieved God's spirit that he made man, and he said, I will destroy man. And God tells Noah this and says, Noah, I found you a righteous man. You have found grace in my sight. You are living for me, not for pleasure and wickedness and sin and all the rest. And your thoughts are clean and pure and right. They're not filled with imaginations of wickedness and sin. How can I do this? And wouldn't this be fun? And will they think a new way to... He said, no, none of that. No. He said, Noah, you're righteous. You found grace in my sight. I got a job for you. I want you to build an ark. How many of you have been to the Ark Encounter? We went a couple of years ago. I was just staggering. I can't even tell you that how I felt during that whole experience. Just unbelievable. And God says, that's your job, Noah. Hey, listen, Russell, that might be your job. Might be Brother Brock's job. I'm around these guys every time I come here. I stayed with the Brocks last time, the Russells this time. Every time I come here, Ben puts me with somebody that can fix anything, make anything, change anything, and I feel dumber and dumber and dumber by the day. And I look at my wife and I think, I haven't told her this. I look at my wife and I say, I feel so sorry for you to be married to a guy like me. I can't build anything. I can't fix anything. I call the plumber. I call the electrician. I call the carpenter. I call whoever. And someday somebody's going to call a mortician, okay? It's like, okay. God says, Noah, I got a job for you. Build the ark. And he tells him how. And what does Noah say? That's what you said. I've never seen rain. What is this rain thing? You know, it had never rained yet. I don't know what this rain thing is. I've never seen rain. But okay, we saw it a year ago, quite a bit of it. Remember when I was here? Okay, but I've never seen it, but this is what you've said. Okay, I don't understand. You got a job for me to do? At your service, here we go. And he built the ark. That's service. That's service for the Lord. That's working. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. This is all about faith. And then you come to verse 8, and we have the passage starting in verse 8 of a person who takes more space. There's more said about this person than everybody else in the whole chapter, and his name is, out loud, Abraham. And I'm not going to preach on Abraham. This is not Father's Day. This is Mother's Day. So as hard as it is, we're going to kind of mention Abraham a few times, but try to keep him to the side. The focus is not on Abraham, on Mother's Day. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. It's all in Genesis 12. And he went out, not knowing, he didn't even know where he was going. That's real faith. Just going because God told him to. 9. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and faith is God. And we won't read the rest of it, but you could read verses 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. And it's all about Abraham. And oh, I wished I should have planned to preach on that tonight, but I knew the mothers would say, see, there you go. Can't just preach on Mother's Day. Got to get the fathers in there too, you know. No, that's not me, okay? So we're going to leave Abraham out of this thing. But go back to our text, because the first woman in the chapter, her name is Sarah. We want to look at Sarah in the time we have left today. Her faith had something to do with being a mother. Everything to do with being a mother. And I want us to look at Sarah's time this morning, whatever time we have left. And I want to notice just mainly three main points about Sarah. About Sarah's faith, okay? Well, again, what is faith? Faith is hearing God say something, believing that what God says is true, and then acting accordingly. And my, this is so marvelous to see this in the life of Sarah. Number one, Sarah's faith was personal. Well, that's pretty obvious. I know, just look at the verse. Through faith also Sarah, what's the next word? Herself. It's so easy to overlook that little word, herself. That jumped out at me when I started working on this message. That jumped out. Through faith also, so somebody else had faith, yeah, but Sarah herself, her faith was personal. She must have been greatly encouraged by being married to Abraham as far as faith went. She must have been greatly influenced by the life and testimony of her dear husband, Abraham, because he was a man of faith. Abraham. Listen to this. Abraham, the word Abraham is found 250 times in the Bible and 230 verses. In 230 verses, we find mention of Abraham, the word Abraham, 250 times. Sarah, I don't remember, but it's somewhere, if you take Sarah and Sarai, and if you take S-A-R-A-H or S-A-R-A, those three, I think it's a total, I think, now please don't check during church. Don't, just leave your cell phone away, okay? When you get home, you can check it out while your husband watches the basketball game or something, okay? But I think it's like 50 or 55 times you find Sarah, and all but three times, I think, it's all in these early parts of Genesis. And that's pretty much it for Sarah. Just a few other places, Sarah. Abraham, all through the Bible. So the Bible, in fact, there's one time, one place in the Bible, Abraham is even called the friend of God. And Sarah's married to him. This is her husband. So you have to think that she's greatly influenced by him. He has a lot to do with her life. But when it's all said and done, in Sarah's life, in her relationship with God, and what she hears, and what she believes, and what she does, it's not about Abraham, it's all about Sarah. Through faith, also Sarah herself. Married to Abraham. Look at, don't turn, I'll read it to you, all right? Genesis 17, 15 and 16. Listen to this. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Genesis 18:10. I will surely return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Shall have a son. So was the birth of Isaac. Was the birth of Isaac only about the great faith of Abraham? Or is the birth of Isaac also about the great faith of Sarah? Well, it says through faith also Sarah herself. Why? Because faith is always a personal thing. Would you agree with that? I mean, this is a pretty simple message. This is not deep, profound here. Okay, this is pretty simple. Faith is always personal. You can't believe for me and I can't believe for you. And mother today, you cannot believe for your husband. You have to believe for yourself. You can't believe for your son, your daughter. You can't believe for your mom or dad if they're still alive. You can't believe for grandpa. Yeah, my grandma was a deep, deep, sincere Christian. You know, okay, praise the Lord. You better thank God for your sincere, deep Christian grandmother, but your grandmother can't believe for you. She can't have faith for you. Faith is a very, very, very personal thing. So Abraham, he hears a word from God, and he believes what God says is true. And he lives accordingly. And God says in Genesis 15, you have now been declared righteous because of your faith. That's Abraham. God speaks to Sarah. He tells her she's going to have a son. And Sarah says, God, if that's what you say, I believe that. And she lives accordingly. It's not about Abraham. It's all about Sarah. Sarah herself also conceived and bare a son. It's always a personal thing. Not just because Abraham believed, it's because Sarah believed. Her name is in Hebrews chapter 11. And by the way, that's a great lesson for every mom and every person here today. I ask you today from my heart, is your faith real? Is it genuine? Is it based on what you believe God in this book says? And regardless of what anybody else thinks it says or doesn't say or what it means or doesn't mean, you've read it, you've thought about it, you've heard God speak, and you say, that's true. And by the way, I believe Christians are in a greater and greater and greater minority every day. Would you agree with that? There are so few people in the world today that believe the Bible is the Word of God, and they say, look, it doesn't matter to me. It does matter, but it's not about my children. It's not about my family. It's not about the next-door neighbors. It's not about all the people in church. It's not about people in our countries. No, 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 no. It's like what I believe about what God says, that's Sarah. Her faith was personal. Number two, her faith was productive. Her faith was productive. It was a faith that produced results. Well, let's look at the verse. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive a son, to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Three simple points here about Sarah's productive faith. Number one, it says, through her faith, she received strength to conceive. I looked up the word strength. In Hebrew, the word strength means miraculous power. Miraculous power. When I've obviously never experienced this as a man or husband. And my wife really hasn't experienced this either, because we have two children. They're both adopted. The doctor said, there's no reason, Bonnie, that you can't get pregnant. The doctor said, Larry, there's no reason you can't get her pregnant. But we had no children for, what, I think 7 years? Am I thinking right? And so God led us to adopt a boy. I think he was like 4 weeks old. He is now a medical doctor in Columbus, Ohio. He works in the pediatrics intensive care unit of Nationwide Children's Hospital. And he is, I'm telling you folks, he is highly, highly intelligent. But he didn't get it from me. He didn't get it from her. We adopted him. Our daughter, she's probably going to hear the message tonight on Facebook, so I better say this too. Darla, our daughter, is highly, highly intelligent. She is a Christian school teacher in Tampa, Florida, at Hillsdale Christian Academy. And I'm telling you folks, she is really, really smart. And she loves teaching children. Not quite as smart as Todd, but she's really, really smart. And she's adopted. So we didn't experience this thing here in Hebrews 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. But the Bible says that through her faith, she had miraculous power given by God, of course, that she could even conceive. Number two, it says she was delivered of a child. Of course, that's with faith. Look at the verse. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive, and implied through the same faith she was delivered of a child. What does that mean? The same faith that she exercised to have this miraculous power to conceive is the same faith that she had to carry that child all during pregnancy and to actually deliver that child. That's Sarah. All because of faith. Conception and delivery for Sarah was only because she believed what God said. Can you say amen to that? Now, just a quick word of caution here, okay? Because I want to be careful. Somebody doesn't say, well, I guess that's our problem then, because we don't have a baby. I cannot tell you how many times it really hurt, but people would say things to us like, well, you know, Pastor Carsey's, I don't like saying this, but because you must not have enough faith, or you'd be having 15 children, two children or something. We had an evangelist come to our church. He took us out for dinner after the service and said he knew why we never had a baby. Because we just obviously didn't have faith. I mean, it was kind of hard to enjoy to eat out. Are you with me? Kind of hard. Faith had nothing to do with that. Now, I don't know your feelings on this, but I'll tell you this. When God says to me, in his word clearly, I promised you, you are going to have a baby, I will believe God. Are you with me? But I can't claim God's word by faith that we're going to have a baby, because I don't see that for me in the Bible. But Sarah was a little different here. And Abraham was different. God clearly spoke to them, you are going to have a son. And in your son, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed, because from him is the Messiah going to come. It's like, whoa, that's what God says? That wasn't easy for them. We'll see that just a little bit. That was not easy for them. But God never said something like that to us. So there came a day when we said, you know what? After praying about this, it must be God's will for us to adopt a son, and we did. I tell people our daughter, this is interesting, I'd say our daughter, listen, we used to go to the wilds in North Carolina. You've been to the wilds? Any of you know the wilds? Down a super slide. I say to people, you know what? Our daughter was born, you talk about a strong wife, our daughter was born the day my wife went down the super slide at the wilds. They say, whoa, I say, yeah, she's a Wonder Woman, man, she's a Wonder Woman. Then when they kind of pick themselves off the floor, I say, we adopted her. We got the phone call that she had just born, okay? Okay, that's cool. They like that, okay. Anyway, we adopted her too. So we have to be careful about this claiming to have a pregnancy and delivering a child because it's all about faith, or if you don't have a child, then you must not be lacking in your faith. I don't go that route. Number three, she had a productive faith. Why was it productive? In the fact, hey, look at verse 12. You talk about a productive faith. Therefore, because of her faith to conceive and deliver a child. Therefore, faith also received strength, verse 11, to conceive a child, seed, verse 11. She was delivered of a child, in verse 11. We'll talk about the rest of the verse in our last point, because she judged in faith of who had promised. Therefore, because of all this, sprang therefore even of one, and him as good as dead, Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky in a multitude, and as the sand which is by the seaside, the seashore, innumerable. What does innumerable mean in the Bible? Can't even count. Too many to count. Multitude basically is can't count. Have there been a lot of Israelites in the world? A lot of Jews? A lot of descendants of Isaac? How? Why? Whoa. Millions and millions of people. Why? Like the stars of the heaven, like the sands of the sea. You can't even count them. Why? Because of the faith of Sarah. That's what it says. Through faith also, Sarah conceived. She delivered a child. Therefore sprang there even of one as good as dead, so many. And I know this is you might think a foolish point, but it's not foolish to me. I mean, I got to get this in here. There's no way a mother today, there's no way that you have any idea what might result from your simple decision of faith, whatever it is. When you hear God clearly speak and you say, I don't fully understand it, it doesn't make any sense to me. Sometimes I find myself even doubting. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But this is what God says. I understand what God says, so I know what I believe and I know what I have to decide and do. You have no idea what the results might be of a simple decision based on faith. I don't want to say the sky's the limit. Sounds like Joel Osteen or somebody like that, okay? But I'm telling you, folks, I don't think we realize how much those decisions we make every day, how they, what can happen with them? Where do they go? And I don't have time to dwell on that point. But I'm just saying, when you read Hebrews 11, verse 11, about Sarah's faith, don't stop with verse 11. Read verse 12. And when you get to reading verse 12, you say, boy, that's a lot of seed. One, all because of Sarah's faith. That's a productive faith. And our last point today, her faith was powerful. She had a powerful faith. What do we read? Through faith also, herself, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. Here's the key. When she was out loud, please, good and strong. Are you awake? Out loud together. When she was, what does it say? I didn't hear you. Let's try that again. Through faith also, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was? Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She was past age. She had a powerful faith. Genesis 11:30, it says, Sarah was barren. Genesis 16, verse 1, God says, Sarah, it says, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And that's not all. Sarah was not only barren, she was long past the age of bearing a child. Would you agree with that? What does it say in the Bible? She was past age, our text says. Genesis 18:11, the Bible says clearly, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. I don't have to explain that. Most of you know what that means. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. We're also told in verse 12 that Sarah's husband was as, did you remember it? Therefore sprang there even of one and of him as what? As good as dead. That sounds like me. Say, how old are you? 55? No, I'm 80. I'm 80, my wife is 27. Okay. My wife is 79, I'm 80. She'll catch up with me on November the 8th. We'll both be 80. Man, I really celebrate that one. Oh yeah, we're both 80. And then on December the 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, the big bomb when I was born, okay? December 7th, then I turn 81 and she waves and has a big day on my birthday, okay? So I think about this when I read, therefore sprang there even of one and of him as good as dead. But it's an interesting and important point here. Sarah's faith was really powerful because it didn't seem like it could ever happen. Can you say amen to that? I mean, it's like, this is not going to happen. We're also told, as I mentioned, that Abraham was as good as dead. In other words, as far as his physical ability went, it was all through. He wasn't going to get anybody pregnant, okay? Genesis 17:1, listen. And when Abram was 90 years, hey, I'm only 80, that's cool. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Genesis 17:17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Genesis 21:5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Now I'm going to tell you something. If I come back here next year and I tell you my wife got pregnant and we had a son, would that be a big Sunday? Okay, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. 80 years old or no 80 years old, it's not going to happen. God has not said this in his word. But Abraham, that's different. He's 100 years old. He's past the age of being able to have a son. And Sarah's not far behind. And God says, you're going to have a son. He says, really? And you read the Bible, it's so clear. Abraham says, okay, here's Mr. Russell, Mr. Brock. Time to get out the tools again and build a baby crib here, you know? I wouldn't be building a baby crib. I'd be buying one, okay? But these people said, all right, God says, apparently age has nothing to do with this. Only God could give Abraham and Sarah a son. Would you agree with that? And he did. In spite of the obstacle, I put this down. The greater the humanly impossible, the greater the opportunity for God's power to be revealed. Isn't that true? The greater the impossibility, the greater the obstacle, the greater God's promise becomes to us. And along with that, the greater the need to exercise faith. But again, remember, faith is taking God as his word, so God has to speak. But when God has clearly spoken, and we understand what God has said, and this is what God means, at that point, the obstacles don't matter. The impossibilities are out of there. So what does the Bible say? For with God, you can finish this, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Or with God, all things are possible. That's taking God at his word. And that's how Sarah had to operate. A powerful faith indeed. And so I want to say again to mothers here, you just live trusting the word. I mean, the main part of the message today is this. It's not about faith for you. It's not about faith in having a baby. For every mother here today, or to mother to be, it's about faith in believing the word of God in any and every area of my life. Just believing what God says is true and making decisions and acting accordingly. And then you leave the results with a powerful God. What does it say back there in Romans 4? I think it's verse 21, but I'm not sure. Abraham, he fathered a child because he believed that God's promise was true, that God would do what he said. And so when you think about that, faith is based mainly on two things. Number one, God's veracity. What does that mean? God is truthful. God is dependable. God can be depended upon to keep his word. One of my favorite verses is Numbers 23:19. For God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Listen, folks, I end up quoting that verse almost every day of my life. When so many things come up, I tell you, retiring has not been easy for me. I can't even imagine. It's been so hard for me to retire. Hard. I mean, preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, teaching a junior high, senior high Bible class every day, 5 days a week for 50 minutes, and you do this for 33 years, and then you retire, and it's done. It's like, it has been hard for me. I just tell you, it's been really hard. I can't tell you how excited I was when Pastor Ben said, could you come and fill in for me? I said, yeah, I'll come. Pretty exciting to get to do that. It's been hard. But you can't, it's just like day after day, it's like, okay, this is what God says. You can trust me for this. It is a strange feeling if you, some of you men, you know what I'm talking about, when you retire. For me, Monday was go to the bank Monday morning and put your check in there from Harvest Hills Baptist Church. And you think about this, you plan for this, you think you got it all figured out, and then you retire. And on Monday morning after the retirement Sunday, you get ready to go to the bank. So I'm not going to the bank today. And I was just like, whoa, this is unusual. This is different, right? So what do? Every day of my life since I retired, I quote these verses every day, okay? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And the last verse. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I quote those verses every day of my life. And when I finish quoting those verses, not every day, but most of the time I think, yeah. And then there's Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And I say, hey, live another day. Now, Abraham and Sarah, that's kind of like them. God spoke to them and said, I know it seems impossible. It's too late for you to think about having a baby, but guess what? You are going to have a son. And Abraham believed God. God gave him a son. And Sarah herself believed God. She received strength to conceive and was delivered of a son. But don't forget that phrase. It's all because of the end of verse 11, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let me close with this. Did Abraham or Sarah ever have any doubts? Yes or no? Did they ever have a lapse of faith? See, I got to end here because some dear, sweet, godly woman, some mother or anybody, you're going to have this message in your mind, and then tomorrow morning or next week or next month, you're going to say, oh no, there we go again. I doubted. I thought I had this strong faith, and then it's like, it's gone today. I've been there too a few times, okay? Remember, Sarah laughed, right? And Abraham laughed. What was the baby called? What was his name? Isaac. What does Isaac mean? Laughter. I like what Dr. William Newell says in his commentary. Sarah laughed at first in unbelief, and then she learned to laugh in faith. Dr. Arthur Pink. At first, Sarah was hindered by unbelief, but she, in the end, relied upon the promise of God and rested in it. And I wrote down in my notes, mothers, don't give up when you first have a question or a doubt. You understand? Because we can have lapse in our faith. And there came a day, in fact, when Sarah, she doubted so much. She said, you know, I know what God says, but I just can't see it happening. And she called for somebody to come in. What was her name? Hagar. Handmaiden. Hagar, come in here, please. Why don't you go in and spend some time with Abraham and maybe you can have a son. What do you call that? Absolute doubting God's word. But still, when it was all said and done, she heard God say, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And they had a baby. Bow your heads, please, if you will. Can you, I hope, in some way, maybe see yourself in the message today? Not about having a baby. Not about being the perfect mother. Just as a woman, as a mother, or someone, mother-to-be. But as a husband, or a father. Or a teenager, whoever you are, whoever. Is there something in this passage of Scripture that can relate to you and you can say, you know, I need this. I need this. I'll tell you what. Jesus said one day to his disciples, the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. You can pray that. You can pray that right now in your pew, your seat. Just say, Lord, I need this. I need to be like Abraham. I need to be like Sarah. Just please increase my faith. It's weak. A man remember came to Jesus one time and Jesus said, all things are possible if you believe. What did he say? Lord, I believe. And he said, help thou mine. What's the next word? Unbelief. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. He said, that sounds like me. Up and down, wavering. I believe and I don't believe. And I was like, oh. Okay, just say, Lord, increase my faith. If you're going to be a woman of faith, mother of faith, if you're going to be a man of faith, then you're going to have to know the word of God, because faith is knowing the word of God and believing it's true. So I'm going to suggest something to you. When you have church here, you come. You come to Sunday school. You come to Sunday morning church. You come tonight. You come Wednesday night. I mean, you just keep coming, bring your Bible, and when you get here, be attentive, be praying, say, God, speak to me again from your word today. I need to know more of your word because I can't walk by faith, I can't live by faith if I don't even know the scriptures. So be a person who's in the word of God. I just beg you to do that. And it starts right now today. Don't miss devotions. Make sure if you leave something out of any day in your life, do not leave out your reading of the Word of God. There is no activity, there's nothing that's more important than that time with God's Word, so that you can be a person like Abraham or Sarah and all these others in Hebrews 11 who did something because of their faith. They heard God's Word, they believed it was true, and they acted accordingly. Let's stand together, please. Could we do that? Stand together. I don't know how you usually close the service. I didn't ask Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben simply said, you can close the service however you want to. And when you're done, Brother Kenny will come and lead the closing song. Does that sound right? Is that the plan? Okay. So let's, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just have a brief word of prayer. Brief word of prayer. And then again, I don't know what you do here, but if God has spoken to you in some way today, you personally, remember Sarah herself, this is yourself now. If God has personally spoken to you, you don't know if he said anything to anybody else here, but you know God has spoken to you and you want to speak to him. I believe in invitations. The message of God's word has been proclaimed. Now there's an invitation for people to respond and say, I need to do something about this right now. So I'll pray, and then we'll just remain standing. And if there's somebody who wants to come, kneel here at the front, stand here at the front, talk with the Lord about whatever he's talking to you about, that's a wonderful thing. You can do that right there if you want to, where you're sitting, where you're standing. You can stand there, you can kneel, you can sit down, whatever you want to do. But we will give you an opportunity to respond to any message that God is giving to you. Father, we thank you for your word. I'm so thankful for the Bible. It tells us how to be saved. It tells us how to live to glorify you. It tells us how to respond in all the various situations in life that we in ourselves could never handle. How to do right. How to glorify you. How to love you with all of our heart. And love our neighbor also. I thank you for this message today here in Hebrews 11. I thank you for these kind people who sat and listened. And I pray, Father, that if you have spoken to somebody's heart, that whether I ever know it or not is not important, but I pray that they will respond and talk with you about what you're talking with them about. We pray in Jesus' name. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Just talk with the Lord right there in the seat, chair. Just talk with him. Or if you prefer, if you like, come forward, stand up here, kneel, pray. I invite you to do that if God leads you to do that, okay? And I'll go stand down in front. If anybody needs me to say, I'm not going to counsel you in front, but I'll be glad to just greet you here and say a word if I can to encourage you or help you, whatever I can do. I'll be down front just for a minute or two, please, and then Brother Kenny will come, okay? Just another minute or so for anyone else who'd like to come. Talk with the Lord, anyone? Kenny?
Take your hymnals and turn to page 182, and let's sing Always the Same.
I am His, He is mine, Jesus knows my name. I can rest in His arms, He's always the same. When I fall, when I call, Jesus takes my hand, cleansing me, lifting me, He helps me to stand. Always the same, oh praise His name. Never changes, He's always the same. Always together, His love is forever. Jesus never changes, He's always the same.
All right, thank you all for being here today, and I have a couple announcements before we dismiss. First of all, we just want to extend again a special thanks to Pastor Larry and his wife Bonnie. If you guys want to go ahead and go to the back so you can greet folks as they walk out, I'm sure they want to shake your hand. And I want to say again that we are excited and thankful that when the call is made, brother, you are willing to answer, because it's a pleasure. It's been a blessing having you here. So, and they'll be here again. He'll be preaching again tonight. So, and then the other thing is that we want to honor the mothers today. And so Thomas Russell is going to kind of be in charge of that. You guys are so special to us. Not only do you get one gift, but you get two. So you get flowers and chocolate. So Thomas will kind of be taking care of that as you guys go out today. So we appreciate you. And so I'd like to ask Dwayne, would you dismiss us in prayer, please? Lord bless you.